The final words that are recorded in this chapter that Jesus spoke to the people placed the hearers of the word in an hour of decision where they had to make up their minds. Based on what they heard and what they saw, they had to choose. They had to make a willing choice who they would serve. And Jesus presents it in this way, as one, a man of integrity, a solid rock and foundation. And he says to those people who are in need of salvation, who are in need of a Savior, who are in need of a Messiah, if I am not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe in me. Because you need a Savior, you need a real Savior. You need one who can provide for your soul's great need. If you hear someone who says that they're a Savior, and they're not doing the works of the Father, and they're not presenting the gospel as it is contained in the Word of God, don't believe it. Don't follow it. This is a sort of risky thing for someone to say if they're looking for crowds to follow them. Because you'd like people to like you and to follow you and to get all the people together following your cause. Jesus stands in integrity and in the reality of who he is. And he's not afraid to be examined, to be looked at, and to be compared to the word that reveals himself truly and says, choose this day. But he says, but if I do, even though if you don't believe me, if you don't believe the words, if you don't take my words at face value, at least take the works that I have done and see that I am who I claim to be. Jesus had just healed a blind man, and people were in awe at the power and the grace of God that had come through Jesus Christ. But many doubted his words, and he turns them to the works that he had done. The things that they could see, that they could observe. And he asks them, choose. So all the pressure is off of him now. And the pressure is on you and me. The decision is on you and me. Will we believe? Will we know that the Father is in Christ and as Christ says, and I in him? He knows that we need a true Savior, one who can provide, just like a shepherd provides for his sheep. Jesus speaks this parable to the people, one that they would be able to understand, and draws them in. And though he ends this chapter with a challenge for the individuals that are hearing his voice to be active participants in the worship and in the trying of the word and the examining and in the faith, I want to challenge each of us, myself first, to be an active participant in the worship, to willingly give our heart and our mind and our soul over to the words of Jesus Christ and what he says about himself. Because as the brother prayed, these are the words of life and truth. These are the words that are the sweetest for our soul and fulfill our greatest need. And there are many of us, that are here today that hear the words of Jesus Christ and we can know and say, these are the truths that Jesus has spoken about himself, and I know them to be true, and I know them to be true in my life. And we just simply say, thank you, Jesus. And I need to hear more of that, and I need to know that with a greater certainty. And it needs to take a deeper impact in my life. And we hear it with joy and gladness, and it comforts our souls. Because we know that we've found the one for whom our soul has craved and has satisfied our great need for salvation, our great longing for peace and for communion with God. And there are some that still haven't believed. And you need to be challenged this morning too. To take the words of Jesus Christ that are true, that are eternal. Let them spark your curiosity so that you could ask yourself the question, well, why isn't that true in my life? And what would my life be like if I embraced this truth? How would that change the way that I live? The anxiety that I feel, the confusion, how would that clear these things up? Whatever your soul's great need, whatever your great questions that you come to the Lord with, hear the words of Jesus. And willingly go from these four walls in faith to look at Him and to hear Him speak to you and ask Him, what does this mean for me? And desire and prayer, hear the word, praying that the Lord would speak. Repeat the words of truth. Reiterate them. And plant them deeply in our hearts. Jesus says that He is the door. He's the only way to eternal life. He's our point of access to the Father and to the kingdom of God. Can I say, I believe that Jesus is the door? And I will agree with Him that He is the only way, and He is my door. And He is that door that I desire to enter in and to walk in and abide in and follow. This is an exclusive way because Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can come unto the Father through no one else but Jesus Christ. And the world scoffs at this. And we scoff at this sometimes too in our foolish days because the world presents false Christs and we have to be ready with the word in our hands and in our hearts. We have to be on guard for amusements that Satan would bring to our hearts that gives us pleasure for a season. We have to be on guard for self-righteousness and it's how it makes us feel good about ourselves. Because these are false ways. There's one way. And we who are the Lord's, we know how precious, how sweet, and how desirable this way is. Because we have come to a place where all of our self, our strength, our abilities have been exhausted. And we have come to a point at which life has been hopeless and we have seen no way of escape from the burden of our sin. And then the word came in its glorious light and presented that there is a way. And this way of escape that has been provided, this door that's open, is a welcome sight to the soul who's come and broken before the Lord and sees that they have no worthiness of their self, but they see their great need of a Savior, a great need of a way. And they find the door, Jesus Christ. And they say, no, no other door, no other way, no other path, only Him. Only the ways that He has taught. That is the soul that finds blessing in knowing that, yes, there is only way, one way. And I've found Him. I've found Him. I know what it is that pleases God. And I know the truth. And I found it in Jesus Christ. For that soul. If any man by me may enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. The ones who see Jesus Christ and as the only way, the only door, the way of salvation, they shall be saved. They shall find that which their souls have great need of, and they will not be disappointed. They shall go out in and out and find pasture. They're going to be provided for their great needs. The Lord will provide for them. I'm reminded of Isaiah speaks in Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, look, take notice. Recognize God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw out water out of the wells of salvation. These are the words of a prophet to people and to us, speaking of the salvation of God. And he sings it as if it were a song. And we can take these words. Behold, take notice. But is it my song? Is it my story of Jesus Christ, him becoming my salvation? And therefore, I with joy shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. This is the story. This is the song of the soul who sees Jesus Christ as the door, enters in, finds salvation, goes in and out and finds pasture and abiding riches in Jesus Christ. What do we lack? What complaints and anxiety do we hold on to? What anger and fear do we persist in because we refuse to open the door and walk through him? Satan will have many things for us. Our conscience will have many things for us. But he is the door. Is he my door? Have I decided and have I realized that he is the only way? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known am known of mine. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I don't know if you come here and you feel alone. I don't know if you come here and you feel broken and needy. But I know I need to hear, and I need to know that someone knows my motives and my actions, is understanding and patient with me, leading me to ways of repentance and fruitfulness in his kingdom, that he knows me. He knows what I've been through this week. He knows my failings. He knows the things that are good, the things that he's given me as strengths. And he says, I am known of my sheep. There are times when the reality of this seems to be a struggle. Do I really know the Lord? Satan would like to use that to put us in a place of no hope, no use, and you might as well give up. But we have the Word. What else do I need? It shows me the way of Jesus Christ clearly. I don't need to make it complicated. I don't need to have some amazing event take place. I need to love the Word, and I'll know the Lord. He's our good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and am known of mine. If confusion and anxiety about decisions and direction abide. They come from time to time in all of our lives. and we wonder which way to turn. But when we are known of our shepherd and we know him, then spending time in prayer, in fellowship with him, and reading of his word, he is faithful to provide clarity and instruction if we're willing to listen. He's faithful, and it may take some time. It may take weeks. But I know my shepherd, and I know he has an expected end. I know he has good desires and intentions, and he desires to provide. And maybe there's things I need to learn. Maybe there's things I need to give up. But I know he will end up leading me to that which is good for my soul and provide. And so with dedication in my heart, I'll pray and I'll open the word. And though at times it may seem as though there's nothing that speaks, I'll wait for him because I need to hear his voice. And I won't get my direction and my leading from any other source. So I have to wait for him. I have to come to a place where I depend upon my shepherd. Jesus said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Think about that. What is the Lord doing here? Father is drawing someone to Christ the Lord. The Father has drawn me to my Savior. When I was poor and sick with sin, wounded and lost, having nothing of value to bring to the Lord, God the Father, in his mercy, called me through his word and gave me grace to respond. He wanted me to meet Jesus. And oh, how I needed and how I still need to know and be with Jesus. It's the desire of the Father that no one would perish, but all would come to repentance and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he's calling now to draw men and women, to draw us all to Jesus Christ. And there's something beautiful about that. There's something beautiful that God would call us, he would draw us to himself, and that he would, in this world of things that are easy to throw away, he actually wanted us. And went to great lengths to reconcile us to himself. He gave us to Christ. He drew us to Christ. He's working on us. And Christ, through his suffering and his shed blood, has forgiven my sins, forgiven your sins, and cleanses you, heals you, provides his Holy Spirit to his own, and is washing us by the water of the Word as we attend unto the Scriptures and learn what it says, and interact with the Lord in active worship, in prayer, in seeking and desiring this great, great, precious price, these riches of God. And there will be a day when the Father will bring the church, Christ's bride, clean, pure, chaste, a bride that is willing to say, there's no one else that can compare, and there's no one else that can satisfy but my Lord, and a bride that will behold the face of it, the Savior, with admiration and respect for eternity, and will sit down at the table, and Christ, as the perfect husband, will love and serve us. He said he will gird himself and serve them. He will be displaying his love. If we feel it today, we know and realize his love, but he will be putting that on display in such greater measure for eternity. That's what I look forward to. And that's the working of God in drawing us to himself. He has given us to Christ, and we are to give ourselves to the Lord, that he would do as he would see fit, that he would mold us in the image of Christ, and that we could follow him. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. 3 times he repeats of his suffering and his death, that he would lay down his life for us, that he would give his life for his enemies. This is the gospel message for us. This is what Jesus Christ is declaring of his mission and what he would do for us. Now, do I believe? Do I embrace that? Can I say that, yes, Jesus said he would die for us, but Jesus has died for me. And I'm so thankful. And I have reason to be thankful. You know, Jesus does bring the people to a place where he says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, maybe you haven't believed the words, but believe the works. And Jesus' work on the cross is something to take notice of, to believe. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. He gave us everything. Go to Bethlehem and see a babe lying in the manger, the one who left the throne of glory and all the splendor to take on himself flesh and to be a servant and to be born into a poor family. Go to the wilderness where he refused to take any power of himself to satisfy his own fleshly desires. Go to the crowds that heard him speaking and teaching, and how they came to him and said, become our king. And he said, no, I'm not going to use my power for that sort of thing. But then go to the garden and see him pouring out his power and his strength as he was giving himself to the will of the Father and pouring out himself in prayer for the ones that would believe upon the word that the apostles would bring out. He was praying for you, and he was using all of his power for you, and he poured out himself on that bloody cross for you and for me. If you don't believe the word, if you don't take him at face value, listen to what he has done and see his great love and ask him to reveal himself to you, that ye may know and believe, and that you would not leave without faith. Because this is what we need. We need to hear the word of Jesus, and we need to believe. Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. God will draw me if I am his sheep and you, brother and sister, in a close fellowship with those who are also Christ's sheep. And how will he do that? He has his ways. He has his means. And we need to learn and grow and be patient. Our part is to believe that he will and that we will be blessed by that fellowship. But to hear his voice, to hear what he is speaking to me and to you. If I hear his voice and harden not my heart, but believe. Will enter in, will be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. May God bless his word.
There are many names that was given to Christ. And in this one we find that he was the door. And not only is the door, but he's the good shepherd. There are promises in those two, promises that he lays in his word that we heard today, that he, if any man enter through this door, he shall be saved. And not only be saved, but he'll guide us and he'll lead us, even in the song that we sang, through green pastures. In other words, he'll guide our lives, he'll help us through life. As we have experienced often, many times of us. But then at the conclusion of the lesson, we read that he says, and many believed on him there. And I believe that's the key to the message today. We must believe what we have heard. May God bless these few words upon our hearts. Amen. Amen.